I'm Casper Van Dien.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock.
Hi, I'm Christos Gate.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gate.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan. And
this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
Hey everybody, the battle for good and evil is over. Welcome to the insurgency. My name is Thomas Strange, and this is Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'd like to thank Kirby Crocker for the intro, as well as Kevin Smith, and hopefully Cynthia Rothrock, because she made one for us and we don't hear her voice nearly enough. Joining me as always is our special guest star, Joshua Opper, who's been our special guest star forever. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing reasonably okay.
Reasonably okay. So I'm taking it, kind of a rough night last night. This is being recorded on Wednesday, November 9th. Long night, Josh?
Yeah, long night.
That's all right. Let's just start drinking. Let's start drinking about the presidency.
Mikey, damn Gary Shandling and his throwaway vote.
Damn you, Gary Shandling. This is not
Gary
the
Johnson.
GR.
Gary Johnson, not Shandling.
Whatever.
So Tommy, you're feeling froggy. Jump on in. How do you feel today?
I feel scotch-tastic, Tom.
Scotch-tastic. That's the way we're going to have to be. Mikey, my friend in Louisiana, how's everything by you?
I am bourbon-licious today.
Bourbon-licious. I myself am drinking a little thing that I call a Screaming Viking, which is a glass of scotch with two devil dogs stuffed in it. Yeah. It's exactly that good. It's true.
All right.
But it's kind of delicious also. Because my doctor said my sugars are fine, so I can drink this. Screw you guys.
And you know that me and Josh can't.
Damn right.
I have a drink with no name. We need a... So
you're
ready?
Is that like the horse? Is that what you give the horse? Go ahead.
No, we need to come up with a name. We need a hero, the hero perspective on my drink.
All right. Let's hear what's in it.
It's coffee tequila, unsweetened vanilla almond milk, and maple syrup.
It sounds sweet and worthless at the same time. I'm going to go with Dazzler.
Ooh, that looks pretty nice right there. I think it is a Dazzler.
I was going to say it sounds kind of powerful and Canadian. I was going to call it a Sasquatch. Tommy?
I'll consider both choices.
All right. How about a North Star?
It's definitely not a Jack of Hearts.
Oh, we got to talk about that. And speaking of Jack of Hearts, today's we're going to be talking about some of the lamer superheroes that we've come across. And the reason we're talking about lame superheroes is because this is the 44th episode, if you guys can believe that. And it's my lucky number. And the guys let me pick the subject this week. So lame superheroes doesn't have to actually be lame, but just superheroes that you consider kind of lame or a little stupid or a little bit of a throwaway, characters that never quite made it, or that you just, for whatever reason, hate. So we're going to do this Rob Robin style. Everyone's going to go through about three, and if you have doubles, we'll just shout out that that's a double.
I got 10 people on my list.
We can do honorable mentions, too. I'm going to start with one of my favorite throwaway characters of all time, Razorback, and his truck, the Big Pig. Razorback started off in Marvel Comics. First publication was Spectacular Spider-Man, Volume 1, Issue Number 3. By Archie Goodwin and Bill Mantillo. I might have that name wrong. He's a big, muscular truck driver from the Texarkana, Arkansas side. And he fights crime in an oversized truck called the Big Pig. And it was just Marvel's attempt to kind of cash in, albeit incredibly late, on trucker lingo and trucker... the whole, you know, C.B. McCall kind of trucker fad that was going on. C.B. radios, the whole damn thing. Did you guys like this guy?
I don't remember the trucker.
I liked the villain version getting his butt pommeled by Spider-Woman after she had given birth to her baby when she was walking with Hawkeye.
Why was there an evil Razorback? I don't know the storyline.
There was a, because apparently there was an evil Razorback, and he was a little bit tougher than the old Razorback, and he was battling someone on the street. Hawkeye and Spider-Woman were taking the baby for a walk. Hawkeye only had regular arrows. He fired several at Razorback, and that did not stop him, and Spider-Woman had to stop him. And Spider-Woman pummeled him and forced him to say that he would never do that again near a baby.
All right.
And I thought that was
By fun. The way, do you know what his mutant power is? What Buford T. Hollis's mutant power is?
He can drive any vehicle.
Any he vehicle. Can drive any vehicle. What
any
crazy
vehicle.
Mutant? That's why the Big Pig 3, by the way, is the Starblazer, the faster-than-life ship they stole from NASA. So now he's racing his Big Pig 3 across the stars because of his mutant power allowing him to drive anything he wants. And that's one of my favorite toss-aways. Go ahead, Mike.
I will see your trucker and raise you. U.S. 1.
Wow. US I was hoping one. Someone would bring up U.S. 1.
U.S. 1 was created in 1983 because, you know, CB radios were awesome in 1983. Guy has an accident, gets a piece of metal in his head, and his only superpower is he can intercept CB radio waves. And he had a series for 12 issues. Thank you, Marvel Comics.
So his superpower was that he could do what any $100 piece of equipment could do.
Exactly.
Intercept CB radio waves.
My favorite lame character. And for some reason, I had 3 copies of US 1. I don't know why. I think it was my dad had a CB radio, and he said, oh, that's kind of cool. And he picked up one and, like, I don't know. I guess he didn't realize he read it and picked up. I don't know how I acquired these. But if one of you bastards is putting copies in my collection, I will find you and hunt you down.
Oh, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Actually, but,
I only have issue number 1.
That's all you need,
well,
baby.
Well, I mean, we're not going to give you the less valuable issues, are we, Mike?
That's
yeah,
true. I don't know how.
We're your friends.
I'm guessing it really picks up in issue 6. I'm just saying, if you're
it's
looking for a Christmas present.
All right, Tommy, you're up. What do you got?
I'm gonna go with Speedball. You know, some people think it's just a way to do heroin and morphine. Other people think it's a comic book character that was created by Steve Ditko and Tom DeFalco back in January of 1988. He first appeared in the Amazing Spider-Man annual. This was back when the Marvel was doing the Evolutionary War in their big crossover event. And they introduced Speedball, a character who I always thought was kind of lame, and it was poorly written many, many times over, and was the impetus, in part, for the whole Civil War, which was probably the most valuable thing he ever did in the Marvel Universe.
All right, well, that's a great pick. I guess that brings us over to you, Josh. What do you got?
I guess nobody else has any hate for Speedball.
You know, I don't really know, but, you know, I liked Speedball, but he went through so many weird permutations. I don't know what else can really be said about him. What was his name when he was going through this whole self-torture phase? Do you remember that? He had a whole new costume.
That was after Civil War, and he had actually joined the Initiative to try to redeem, or no, he went to jail, right?
He went to jail.
Yeah.
And he was wearing this costume that had spikes in it, so every time he moved, the spikes poked him. But that also kind of powered him up, because that was part of the whole Speedball power, is he absorbed kinetic energy like that.
Yeah, he called himself Penance.
Penance, that's right, because he killed all those children Why wouldn't you?
And I didn't really have a problem with Penance, but Speedball was kind of lame.
All right, you know the same guy, right?
Well, you know, the entire New Warriors were pretty lame.
The entire New Warriors team was on my list, so. They weren't what I was going with next, but they were they're on the list. The whole team, everyone on the team.
Double means we all drink, right?
Everyone on the team.
Hey, I'll drink to that. Everybody drink. Okay. I love it when I get sick.
Although,
all right, John.
Night Thrasher might be the best skateboard-based superhero ever.
It's possible. I'm sure there's a kid out there with crayons, Mike, who's done something a little better. But I mean, as far as like published in a real magazine, I guess he's definitely bundled in with the rest of the New Warriors.
He has such a great backstory. His parents are killed in front of him, and he decides to seek justice by training himself.
Will they beat the death of a skateboard? If they were beat to death of a skateboard, I'd be all in.
Hey man, this really rolls.
This is awesome. What kind of trucks were on the skateboard that beat your parents to death? I'm just asking.
For a friend.
A friend who likes skateboards to beat people to death with, like your parents. Is that how they died? The beating to death? Yeah. Anyway.
By the way, good.
The first guy on my list, now that we've sufficiently trounced the New Warriors, is Matter Eater Man. Mike? Matter Eater?
Matter Eater Lad, sorry. By the way.
Lad. Oh, sorry. My bad.
Didn't live long enough to become a man.
Wait, you're talking about a character that saves the entire DC universe. Go on.
Yes, I am talking about a character that saves the entire DC universe because he can eat and digest anything.
So he's basically Kenny Clark. Shout out to the 9 people that know us that know him.
Yeah, he's just like a guy from a family, and he gets involved in Legion of Superheroes, and he can eat stuff. He has no other powers. He often remarks that when he eats that don't get me wrong, Matter Eater Lad has eaten like villains and monsters, which makes it creepy because he's like, that guy kind of tastes like chicken, and you're like, you just ate somebody.
Just ate somebody and said they tasted like chicken.
Yeah, yo, Hannibal Lecter, kind of ease off there, everybody.
He's a little,
but
Lecter,
he does end up. He does end up saving the entire DC universe. I can't remember what he ate. Mikey, what did he eat?
I'm going to guess a Royale with cheese.
It's a Royale with cheese.
Matter Eater Lad, you bastard. You're making me look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was that he, but,
yeah, wow. he had to eat something post-Infinite Crisis.
No, pre-Infinite Crisis. This is in the 60s.
Oh, okay. Well, Zero Outer, he eats Bouncing Boy? No. He eats something and he saves everybody. Yes, oh, that was it.
Miracle Machine.
Can you eat a Miracle Machine?
No, I cannot.
Then shut up.
Can you do a backflip on a skateboard that beat your parents to death?
Then shut up.
I would like to mention that Matter Eater Lad was actually a member of the Legion of Superheroes. He made it where
yes, he was.
Where other like Legion of Substitute characters did not. My favorite I've mentioned already once before, Stone Boy, who had the power to turn into a statue but had no cognition of what was going on. So like he would stay there like that for days. Or Color Kid, who had the power to change the color of objects.
Oh, Color Kid. Yeah, that kid had some. He was.
Yeah, but.
He was all power.
He was a living crayon.
The guy who stopped Superman dead that one time. Oh, hey, Superman. Hey, how about a red sun? There you go. Yeah, that's just a lame power now, is it?
You can
turn everything yellow.
All the lanterns.
Pretty lame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing. Bing. Yeah, there's a couple guys you can. Plus, if you're fighting a guy that's colorblind, blend in.
You know, Bouncing Boy gets a lot of garbage because everybody says he's worthless also. He was able to inflate himself and bounce around. But dude married a girl who could duplicate herself. So that guy's having a three-way every night. So Bouncing Boy loves
it. You mean an 83-way?
Unfortunately, one of those young ladies died, and now she can only become two. And her name now is Duplicate, Kate being her name. I think that's hilarious to me.
Girl. Yeah, wow, she used to be awful. Triplicate Girl.
She used to be Triplicate Girl. Now she's Duplicate. Yeah, which I always thought was a really cool name. Sorry, just got off on a tangent there. And my next guy, not a tangent, was actually mentioned in a recent episode of Archer as being one of the lamest, though he said gayest, though I don't really actually think Cypher's gay. Cypher.
Cypher. Oh, you stole my thunder, you bastard.
Everybody drink.
Everybody drink.
Damn it.
Those devil dogs really, really give it a little something. Cypher, who can talk to anybody. Even sentient animals or aliens or computers.
He can learn and decipher any language.
Including body language.
Yeah.
He comes in handy, I'll give you that, unless there's a guy with a gun.
Well, he was a kid.
Yeah. You know what? He had a superpower to stop bullets. He just couldn't survive using that power.
Just caused a bullet-sized hole in him every time he tried.
Maybe next time. Does anyone want to defend? Cypher?
I will defend soul friend Doug Ramsey.
Soul friend Doug Ramsey is soul friend. Go ahead.
Cypher was awesome. He could... Yeah, I got nothing. I'm sorry. I really wanted to defend
him. This is because you were a linguist, isn't it, Mike?
Do you want to go with Doug Locke when he merged with Warlock for a while? I mean, that was at least kind of cool.
Yeah, no. That's not really
That's when
him.
He became kind of useful. But really, it was just Warlock being useful.
Yeah. I kind of like Warlock, and then I kind of thought he was just a lazy cartoonist.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to draw a mass with it.
I definitely called double on that because I always thought Warlock was a little lame and also a little awesome at the same time.
For you kids drinking at home, that means you should drink right now as we talk about more of the New Mutants.
That's right.
I'm drinking. All right, that brings us back around to Mikey. Mikey, what do you – that was mine. Mikey, what do you got next?
I got Star Fox. From Marvel's Avengers. That's
now,
right.
Now, we're talking about a serial rapist superhero.
Yes, that is why I'm calling him a bad superhero, because his superpower is to make the opposite sex just attracted to him, which is super rapey.
Can we just call him president-elect? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's too soon, isn't it?
That's too soon.
He was actually put on trial for sexual assault, accused of using his powers to seduce a happily married woman, and was defended by She-Hulk when she in her great series where she was the lawyer when Byrne was doing that. But he is a other than that, that's really his own superpower. Other than he can fly and has a little bit of super strength. But
flying and
totally
super strength
worthless.
Is a pretty good superpower, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's horrible.
He is pretty horrible. Anyone want to defend?
Star Fox? No. I can't even defend Star Fox's hairstyle.
I can't defend. No. I'm not going to defend Star Fox.
Hey,
he is the Bill Cosby of the Avengers.
He truly is.
That is not a place you want to be.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Star Fox.
Just to give a little shout out to, and let's just call ourselves on ourselves. As kids, think about any time you had a Dungeons & Dragons character with an 18 charisma Looking back, first appearance of Star Fox was Iron Man 1973. Who created this character?
Jim Starlin.
Jim Starlin. Jim Star. This is Jim Starlin's 18 charisma paladin that he's trying to live vivaciously, vicariously through. Or maybe vivaciously through, but probably vicariously through. So we've all done it a little bit in our imaginations, but he went it and took it to a creepy level.
He did the full Steranko of this character.
Yeah, you can't do the full Steranko. You can only go partly Steranko. I would love to see the Marvel, you know, when you take a look at everyone that Tony Stark's ever slept with, and it reaches really very far across the Marvel Universe, and even a little bit into the DC Universe. I'd like to see the same thing done with Star Fox. Maybe we'll have to make that happen. Just saying. All right, that brings us over to you again, Tommy. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Fight Man. This is a one-shot by Marvel Comics in 1993, created by Evan Dorkin, and he was a superhero that was kind of a jerk.
Tell me more about him. I love Evan Dorkin.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very good comic, which is why I say it's on my lame superhero list.
What was his power? He was just a jerk?
He was you know, super strong and a little invulnerable and kind of a jerk.
So we're talking about Frank...
You're talking about me with superpowers.
So we're talking about Frank Bigelow, better known as Fight Man.
Fight Man.
Only appeared in one issue?
Yeah.
One issue. That
you
was
dug
it.
Deep for that one, my friend.
I did.
One of the very
I had to compete with Razorback.
Here's a little bit of trivia. One of the very few superheroes that has a court order to stay away from children and refrain from using his superpowers in public.
Well.
And he also had some sidekicks. One was Kidhead, Fight Kid, Kid Fight Girl Kid, and Kid Attack. He had a lot of child proteges, and that's probably why they didn't
want him. So he was running a kid fight club?
Kind of. That's exactly what it was like.
Okay. Good. It's kind of funny.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a, right. It's a little funny. And we love Evan Dorkin. Evan Dorkin, of course, Milk
we
and Cheese.
We absolutely love Evan Dorkin. He is great.
Pyrocore. We should do a Pyrocore one. Maybe that'll be one of our next ones. Because that's a great one.
Have you not listened to our podcast? I talked about Pyrocore.
I was talking about a full episode there, buddy.
Okay.
Right.
We could do a full episode on Pyrocore.
We can. Easy. Josh, that's you, buddy.
All right. Well, you'd have to have the Relocas of a mocat to like Marina from Alpha Flight 2. Marina is basically the creature from the Black Lagoon. Her mighty power is she could swim fast.
Which is very helpful.
Seriously, that's
Canada.
It. She could
no, 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 no. That wasn't her only superpower. She was also incredibly resilient to damage. She was
incredibly resilient to apathy.
Right. She was very easy to capture for some reason. Because she got captured a lot.
Yeah, she's like a fish out of water, you know. She's easy to capture. Yeah, she could swim fast and breathe water and
she also had she had claws.
Yeah, so do I if I don't trim my nails.
In the original Alpha Flight she was part alien. Wasn't she?
I don't remember. I actually hadn't put that much thought into it. I mean, she was basically the creature from the Black Lagoon, and she was awful.
She was pretty awful.
She was pretty awful.
All right. That brings us, and since we're on Alpha Flight, drink everybody because I got a teammate for you. Eugene Milton Judd, better known as Puck. I know some of you guys are going to try to defend this guy.
Wait a minute. You're not going to tell me that the Puck is one of your lamest superheroes. He's one of the few short people, one of the few little people in all of comicdom that is a positive role model.
And his superpower is?
He is
very athletic.
He's very dense, isn't he?
He's very dense, yeah.
He is dense, but he jumps
very acrobatic.
Spins at you and knocks you over like a hockey puck. And by the way, he is not a little person.
He's not a little person by birth, but he's a little person by magic.
He's a little person by magic, and that doesn't damn well count because he can become a tall person anytime he wants. It's not the same thing.
How dare you, sir? He is the heart and soul of Alpha Flight.
He is the soul of Alpha Flight. If you prick him, does he not bleed maple syrup?
I don't know. I haven't pricked
him. Being the Canadian super team.
He's also skilled at bullfighting.
Well, there's two things.
He was friends with Ernest Hemingway.
He's a bullfighter.
For God's sakes.
For God's sakes, man. He was... Yeah. I'm sorry. He is just...
He's a sweet and gentle puck.
He's fairly lame. He had a one-shot comic, I think 4 issues, which I thought was really good, but I still thought he was pretty lame. Sorry. Not going to talk me out of it. All right, one more all the way around, guys. Mikey, finish it up on
just
yours.
One?
Just one, and you can put a couple of... put a couple of honorable mentions in if you like.
All right, I'm going to go with Doorman from the Great Lake Avengers. Now, I could have chosen any member of this team, but Doorman.
The Great Lake Avengers were off limits for this.
Tom said it was, but the hell with him. I'm saying Doorman is lame. His superpower is to be able to teleport people, but only from one room to the next adjoining room.
All right, but keep going.
No, that's it. That's all I got. That he's worthless.
That man is worthless.
That man is playing Tetris. Okay, but remember,
he only saves people like 6 steps.
Yeah, but no door is locked to Doorman.
No door.
That's the best. That was the best I got. Sorry. He's awful.
The doorman in the Tick comic was much better because he was a bouncer at a club.
It's true.
He does become the angel of death for a while. I mean, that's something.
How dare you, sir? How dare you defend the Great Lake Avengers?
All right.
You're lucky I didn't throw Squirrel Girl onto this list.
Hey, Squirrel Girl has a pretty accomplished list and easily defendable. That's all I'm going to say. Tom, you want to throw a couple honorable mentions out there, Mikey, since you had a bunch?
No. We'll go back around to me. I'll come back.
Okay, we'll come back around for just honorable mentions. Tommy, go ahead.
Mom.
I'm going to say the Porcupine. Now, the Porcupine armor was originally used for
evil. I thought he was a bad guy.
Used for evil for a really long time, and it was tossed around like crazy. The inventor tried to sell it to everybody. He tried to sell it to AIM, Hydra, you name a supervillain group. He couldn't get rid of that son of a bitch. And then... And then somehow they retcon this, and in the Spider-Woman from 2015 series, Spider-Woman is teaching the Porcupine how to be a good guy. And it's a totally different guy in there. He's a guy named Roger, and she is teaching him how to basically take over the heroing business for her while she's on maternity leave. And he's kind of lame, I think, as is evidenced by the fact that not even the supervillains wanted that armor.
That's true. They're like, I'm going to stick with this beetle suit I got, or these stilts.
A stilt suit. I mean, you know.
Don't you dare, sir.
Don't. My God, sir.
We will have words if you bring Stilt Man up.
I will belabor you,
saying,
my good friend.
I'm just saying there are many, many, many different super villain agencies that have passed on buying the Porcupine armor. And for some reason, it ends up with this guy that Jessica Drew is trying to train to take over doing the superheroing with Ben Ulrich or Ulrich. Well, she is on maternity leave, and I've got to say it's kind of a lame superhero because it was kind of a lame villain, and now it's kind of a lame superhero.
All right, Josh, what do you got there?
I have two honorable mentions. One is all three of Grasshopper. I know I'm dipping back into Great Lakes Avengers here. All three versions of Grasshopper, who are summarily killed.
Most of Great Lakes Avengers.
killed very quickly. I just like the fact that Grasshopper doesn't get to live. He's a lame hero. They know he's a lame hero. He's Iron Man, Spider-Man mix in a terrible, terrible, terrible way, and they just keep killing him as fast as they can. It's the only good part about
it. He is like the drummer to Spinal Tap.
Precisely. And my last one, honorable mention, Marvel put out Super Pro. Anybody remember Super Pro?
Oh, I was going to talk about drink. I was going to talk about Super Pro as an honorable mention. What was the other? Go ahead, but finish this drink.
So in case anybody doesn't know out there, Super Pro was Marvel's team up with the NFL, and they made an NFL player have superpowers. It was sad.
Do you guys remember the other superhero pro team they made? I can't remember the name of the comic book. I was trying to remember it for this episode. It was like five guys. It was during that weird offshoot that Marvel had that other comic book coming out with some of these bizarre characters, and one of them happened to be like a whole football team that got superpowers.
Nope. I do not remember. Okay. No.
I'll have to look that up. I'll do a little research. I know it exists.
Sure, that wasn't just a fever dream, Tom?
Pretty sure it wasn't just a fever dream. Do you remember the guy that had the shield on one hand and the sword on the other, but he couldn't quite remember who he was? It was during that weird
gladiator
time period.
You're talking about the gladiator who also made all the armor for people?
No. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Shield and sword, this couldn't guy remember like who he was?
Yeah, he had like a force shield that he could do with his left hand, then he had a force sword.
Justice,
thank you very much. Justice. That was an offshoot comic book brand from Marvel, and this was all part of that. What did Marvel call that Justice comic and all those others?
I don't know, it was in the future.
New Universe.
New Universe, yeah. That's right. This is part of the new Marvel's New Universe.
That was a good comic.
I kind of like Justice too. I want to bring that up when we talk about how come they didn't make it.
Like DP7?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those guys.
Starbrand made it, actually. He's actually in the Marvel Universe now.
By the way, I just found it. It was called Kickers, Inc.
Yes.
Wow.
That's right.
Terrible. It was terrible. Psyforce was terrible. Nightmask was terrible. Justice was kind of cool. I liked. And DP7, there was only one good character, the Mastodon. I liked him. But other than that, yeah, it was all pretty bad. New Universe. We'll do a New Universe one at some point. I'm going to write that one down. Josh, is that all your honorable mentions?
That is my honorable mentions. Oh, I'm just going to say the Psyforce there just always remind me of like the superhero version of the Bionic Six.
Are you sorry? Are you talking about Psyforce or
Psyforce.
The other one? Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, it was kind of like Bionic Six.
You know what? I really kind of wish kept going that only lasted a few issues was the Heckler. It was a DC.
Yeah,
comic.
I kind of like the Heckler. Yeah. The Heckler was a lot like.
I did like the Heckler. The
Ambush Bug.
Yeah.
Yeah,
ambush
like bug
slash the creep. Ambush bug slash the creeper.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was well written.
Yeah,
it was always
like
rhyming
Heckler,
stuff.
We still need to have an ambush bug Deadpool matchup.
Crossover.
Matchup.
Well, that would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool. I'd read that. All right, for my last one, for a lame superhero, but I liked it at the time. But I realize in retrospect how stupid it was. Dial H for Hero.
Hero.
How dare you? That was a great series.
I defy you, good man, to to saying some good things about a stupid Dial H for Hero. Ben 10 taken to the ultimate pinnacle of its stupid self. And I would also like to point out that if you accidentally spelled horror, you became a villain. I would have spelled all kinds of weird stuff with that stupid watch. So basically, you had a watch
on
your wrist.
It really was the proto seat for Ben 10.
It kind of was. You had a little watch on your wrist. You would dial H-E-R-O and become a superhero. Usually, you'd become a new superhero, but sometimes you'd actually become a duplicate of an existing superhero. Plastic Man was, you know, totally ripped off in one episode, and they actually called him Plastic Man, and he just became Plastic Man because, you know, Dial H for Heroes is owned by DC, and they're like, man, what the hell, we're making Plastic Man this issue. It was pretty stupid. Go ahead.
You did not read the 2003 series called H-E-R-O. It was a great series, and it was leading up to where all the superpowers came from and those heroes appeared from. So the whole premise was you could dial H-E-R-O and you would become a superhero, but there was also another watch that you could dial villain in, and it was a whole mythos that they were building. So check out the 22 issues of Hero from 2003 and then come back to me and tell me it's a lame series. It was great.
One of the times he turned into Mighty Moppet, a baby-like hero with a squirt bottle that turns their targets into babies or back into adults.
That was in the Silver Age.
That is the Silver Age.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm defending the 2003 series.
It sounds hilarious.
It was the 2003 series was really dark.
Okay. Yankee Doodle Kid. Yankee Doodle Kid, a superhero that can fly and shoot fireworks. Fireworks.
When they in the 1980s.
Look,
they
if we're gonna go with fireworks, let's talk about Jubilee.
Robbie Go-Go, a super fast disco dancing martial artist. That happened, and you let it.
In the 1980s, in the 1980s, you could write into DC Comics with your idea for the superhero, and they would put him in the Dial H for a Hero comic in the section of Adventure Comics. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
Go ahead. Go along with Jubilee.
I was going to say, the only time I've ever seen Jubilee represented in a way that I liked was in the Deadpool movie. Other than that, I always hated the character. I thought visually she was uninteresting, and most of the time she was kind of ineffectual and unimportant in the X-Men comics.
She wasn't in the Deadpool movie. That was Teenage Negasonic Warhead. That was an actual superhero created by Grant Morrison.
Yes, even though they transposed her powers with, what's his name? Cannonball, kind of.
There you go. And that's why I like it best in the Deadpool movie.
everybody drink because
is it just
because
she was Asian that you thought I was Jubilee? Is that what
no,
it was?
I thought it was Jubilee hanging out with Colossus.
Also, I don't think that actress is Asian.
No, I don't think so either.
So you're wrong
there,
on so
I'm
many
taking
levels,
it back.
Auntie.
I have never seen a representation of Jubilee that I've liked.
That's
I'm going to say, I don't think you've seen any of these movies. You're just kind of like, oh, yeah, I saw that. It was okay.
Yeah, my chicken tastes like pants.
By the way, everyone drink again because Cannonball was my that's my honorable mention.
How
Cannonball,
dare you, sir?
Cannonball, he could fire himself at somebody using kind of an unknownish energy, and the energy protected him so that when he hit something, he didn't die. That's kind of stupid.
That was awesome, and he was the best of the New Mutants. You are wrong, sir. Wrong.
You know, just because you're the best of something doesn't mean that that's any good.
How dare you insult the Guthrie clan.
That's right.
They'll be hell to pay. My baby's babies will know it. I also got one more, and I've always hated Nova.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I thought I was going to get some
Nova. The Nova Corps in general?
No,
dude,
Nova,
Nova sucked.
The guy's name was Dick Ryder.
Yeah. The guy's name was not Dick Ryder. You're a liar and you're a known liar.
What? No, that's the character's name, Richard Ryder.
No, that's the character's name. It was Dick Ryder.
Dick Ryder was Nova.
Dick Ryder was Nova. I'm going to keep saying it. Dick Ryder was Nova.
Oh, my God. Richard Ryder was Nova. No go. In Spanish, if you will.
It was no go. No Dick go Ryder, on Dick Nova. Ryder.
Dick Ryder? Nova. Nova.
You got to double back that. Dick Ryder. He's a no go.
He's a no go. Yeah, I just never liked the character. I never got into him. I thought someone was going to fight me on that one.
No, I don't think I am.
Oh, no.
Once again,
that's fine.
Just his association with the New Warriors basically disqualifies him forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my extra special episode because I really wanted to talk about this. Thank you for indulging me, guys. Go ahead. Let's do some runners up.
I mean, somebody's already mentioned Jubilee and Cypher, and I love Dazzler because she's the greatest skateboard or excuse me, roller skating superhero ever. But I would say Angel. Angel's power was to fly.
And he had wings.
But you know what? There was one issue where Angel took on Iron Man and beat the crap out of him flying in the air that convinced me that Angel was just underutilized in the X-Men and just written not that great in the X-Men.
He didn't become good until he became the Archangel. Mutant Massacre.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but this was way before Mutant Massacre.
I'm sorry, did you just say thank you, Mutant Massacre?
That's right. I like the Reavers gave us so much.
It's like, thanks, Holocaust. Good. All right, okay. I'm just making sure.
In a world where Trump has been elected, Mikey has embraced our new overlord.
The Morlocks had it coming.
I'm just saying.
I built sewer grates and made the Morlocks pay for them.
Sewers don't just burn like that because of jet fuel. It was an inside job. Go ahead.
So I've got some other lame superheroes. Triathlon.
Triathlon. That was Triathlon.
Marvel Comics. He was a freaking Avenger. He had the peak human potential of three people, which I guess is good if they were three athletes, but if they were like three of us, that would not be a superpower.
Yeah.
No.
3D man?
I got really great calves.
3D man, the guy who was able to see aliens, he was horrible.
Yeah.
That comic was just horrible, even though I like Kurt Busiek and George Perez. Vibe from the Justice League. I don't care how cool Cisco is on the Flash TV show. Vibe was a horrible breakdancing Puerto Rican from Detroit. And he was so lame.
You do know that Triathlon and 3D Man are the same person, right?
No, they're two different people.
Because
multiple people have been 3D Man.
I was going to say because Delroy Garrett, who was Triathlon, was also 3D Man for a while.
Yes, he put on the glasses to become 3D Man. There were several.
It's like saying who hasn't become the Porcupine at one point.
It's good.
Tons of people have worn that stupid suit.
And my last one is Stingray.
Oh, double! I almost picked Stingray.
Oh. All right. I'm out.
I'm out too.
That's why you got to put five fingers for these kind of guys.
I did. I had five fingers, man.
All right, well, we're going to keep going. Does anyone else have any honorable mentions?
I think but, this is a great time to say if any of our listeners have some honorable mentions, they should email them to luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com, and we will talk about them on the air, and they will be entered to win the ultimate Thunderbolts collection that we are giving away this month. That we
That's right.
should be giving away.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but if you
anytime.
If you happen to say Aquaman, I won't fight you on it.
All right. My very last one, She-Thing.
She-Thing.
You're talking about how no way, She-Thing?
Sharon Ventura, She-Thing? Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to say that was
Yeah, I got
bad.
Nothing.
Yeah, She-Thing for the love of God. All right, so blessedly we are done with that part. Mikey, do you got anything good for me at the front of the long box?
I do. I have a graphic novel from, I think it was 2005. I'm reaching a little bit back in the long box, but it's called Stuck Rubber Baby.
Wow, you were going further back than I'm going.
The book's called Stuck Rubber Baby. It is by Howard Cruz. It's an autobiography. Where he talks about growing up gay in the South during the 1960s. It's a really great read. It's got a lot of stuff. He's trying to deal with his own sexuality, and he's on the peripheral of the civil rights movement, but he can't seem to get himself out of his own malaise for not wanting to be gay because he thinks it's a bad thing and he's trying to be straight. It's a great book. I highly recommend it. It has been challenged by numerous libraries, people challenging its inclusion in the library. Most notably was in a county in Texas where they tried to have it banned because of its sexual themes. The library did not ban the book. However, they moved it from the young adult section into the adult section, which is kind of a shame because it's a coming-of-age story. But highly recommend it.
Stuck what was the name Baby. One more time?
Stuck Rubber Baby Stuck Rubber by Baby. Howard Cruz.
That sounds like something I should definitely read. Thank you, Mikey. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
Well, since we were doing lame things, I figured I would do something that's a retcon of something that was lame. And I chose Galactica 1980. That's right, the spin-off to Battlestar Galactica that was a horrible, horrible TV show. They retconned it and did it right. The folks at Dynamite Comics have done it again. They have made my Battlestar Galactica dreams come true and taken the steaming turd that was the Galactica 1980 TV show and retconned it into something that was actually pretty decent. And if I tell you more, it will give away everything. But let's put it this way. They don't send two Vipers down to Earth to investigate stuff. They bring the whole Battlestar down to Earth, and it changes the whole storyline, and it really is a much better story.
Dynamite can really do no wrong. They do. They get everything pretty much right.
They really do a decent job with a lot of things that people have given up on.
Well, I'm going to talk real quickly on my part on social justice. Now, we just had an election. I'm not sure how much I've talked about Pettigrew for president. I know I've mentioned it in passing once, but I'm going to give it a little bit more of an thing right now. Written in 1974, but set 12 years in the future, it talks about a presidential primary in 1976 in which an unseen presidential candidate named Pettigrew is running for president. Now, this entire run goes in a Catholic comic book, and the Catholic comic book is mostly about, morals and, how to be a better person. This particular one shows Pettigrew for president, this guy running for president, who is Catholic. And that's a big deal because, we haven't had a Catholic president yet in 1964. what makes it even more outstanding is that we finally do see Pettigrew, who is the presidential candidate, who's mostly been talked about in the third person, who finally comes into frame. He's also an African-American. So the Catholic Church, and honestly, he does look a little bit like Barack Obama with the big ears and the great heart-melting smile. So this Catholic comic book was showing how, you know, having a Catholic and having an African-American as a president, or at least as a presidential candidate, is totally viable and could happen as early as 1976. So I'd like to just give a little shout-out to Pettigrew for president, all the way back from 1964 in Catholic comic books. That was almost a tangent. But it wasn't really a tangent, because that's where Josh is going to take us. Josh, do you have a tangent for us?
Favorite iPhone wasting time app. Go.
Favorite iPhone wasting time app. Zombie Dice.
I don't know it.
You never played Zombie Dice?
No, I need to do Time Waster. That's why I brought this up.
You played Zombie Dice, though, right?
Yes, Yes, I didn't know it was an app.
It's also a pretty good app. And the best part of the app is you can put like four of your friends' names in. It's almost like you're playing, because the AI is almost as stupid as we are. Yeah, I know. I am pathetic that I actually do that. I will actually play Zombie Dice with Zombie Josh and Zombie LT and Zombie Mike when I'm bored and lonely on the train. How pathetic am I?
It's kind of sweet, actually.
All right, fine.
Sweet.
But I do, and that's what I do.
I'm going to go with apps. Twitter.
Twitter?
Twitter? Because you follow at the Long Box guys?
Yes, Twitter is my waste of time. But it's not a waste of time, because there's some awesome people on Twitter, like us, for example. Tom, what's our Twitter account?
Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box, guys, you are totally abusing Josh's off on a tangent part. Or
well, I'm really drunk, so I reserve the right. It's called synergy, right, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Do I have another good time waster? I really do enjoy the Star Wars Empires app also. I play that way too much.
So I have played this game out, but I really like it. 80 Days, if you haven't played 80 Days, get that. It's awesome.
I don't have that kind of time.
It doesn't take 80 days to play.
Oh, okay.
Same like a commitment.
What about you, LT? You just got a smartphone?
It's an around the world in 80 days.
Genies and Gems, which is a kind of a Candy Crush ripoff, and I'm enjoying it.
I do not do the crushes. The crushes.
I played until I was stuck on a level and I had to buy a candy hammer for 30 cents. And then I bought a candy hammer for 30 cents. And I'm like, what the hell? I just bought a candy hammer for 30 cents. I'm an idiot. And so I stopped playing. And that's a true story.
This is similar in that you got to match similar things, but it also has, you know, different things and such. And I've been enjoying it, and I have not bought anything, even though it tries to sell me shit all the time. Because I'm not Tom, and I don't buy 30-cent candy hammers.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I bought it. I used it. I'm like, hey, I got through that level. Oh, I'm an idiot. And, yeah, that's how my day went there.
That's okay. It's all right, man. It happens to all of us.
I feel bad.
Yeah, now we have a new president-elect.
That is true. Who did not? Anyone? Mike, I guess you're the only one that kind of copped out on that one. Just saying.
I said Twitter.
Cop out.
Screw you.
Yeah, I know. It's so cop out. You're paying the ass.
I'm synergizing.
All right.
I respect you.
Leave me alone.
All right. Well, that's that. That's all our tangents. That's all of our episodes. That's everything for episode 44. I hardly want to make this one stop just because we haven't done an episode for a couple weeks and I miss talking to you guys. But all good things must come to an end. Does anyone have anything they want to pitch before we go?
I would.
Yes.
Well, Mike first.
I'd like to plug KirbyCracklemusic.com, where you can listen to our geek rock house band, Kirby Crackle. We thank them every week for providing our music. Also, RedRocketFarm.com. It is a very cute artist who we bought some of his artwork from at Dragon Con to hang in the room of the newest member of our family, Maria Luisa Martinez.
Most Catholic name I've ever heard in my life.
That's right. She is part of the Long Box Legion and currently our youngest member, but we are very excited to have her with us.
And as part of the one of the ultimate winners, since we always stay at their house, we've decided to buy her a car for when she graduates from high school to go to college in. Everybody's still up on that, right?
Yes.
All right, just me. Yes. I'm buying her a car. Yes. That sucks. Mike, you give like 9 different people a monthly stipend. You better help me buy a car for this kid.
Okay.
By the way, my wife thinks that I am not unreasonable in saying that we could have just sent the kid to college also, especially if she wants to go to Georgia. It would only cost us like $6,000 a year.
I think you're crazy.
Her parents are an engineer and a lawyer. They're pretty smart. She'll get a scholarship.
Yeah.
So that's what I was telling. That's also what I told Lane. Like, she's probably going to get a scholarship because they're both smart and, you know, musically inclined. I'm guessing she's going to do okay. Yeah, let's get her a car. See that, Legion? We're buying one of you guys a car. We're pretty awesome.
It's going to be something small and economical.
Damn right it's going to be something small and economical. We're not monsters.
Yeah, we're not monsters.
Josh, you got anything to plug?
Monsters.
Just my friendly neighborhood comic shop, better known as Friendly Neighborhood Comics. You can check them out at friendlycomics.com.
I'd like to plug not only our Twitter page, which you already did, but I also want to plug Tony Isabella at the Tony Isabella. Tony Isabella always has some funny stuff to say. He's very entertaining. Hopefully we're going to see him when we get back down to Pensacon in just about 4 or 5 months. Looking forward to that. And, Tony Isabella at the Tony Isabella. Great guy, great writer. Black Lightning, one of his many creations, and also very funny.
I would like to plug IanLino.com.
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 IanLino.com. IanLino.com. Purveyor of fine T-shirts and other geeky things.
Josh, before I leave, I almost forgot to ask you. I was wandering around and I saw a sign, and I was just wondering if this was indeed your section.
This is no. I don't believe anything in this in my sector is mine at this point. None of this.
All right.
I'm not taking credit for anything in this sector.
This sector is on its own. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
Awesome. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love. And I know that's going to be really hard for the next 4 years, but give it a shot. LT, you got any parting words of wisdom?
When hate wins, we all lose. Scotch. It's what's for breakfast.
Oh, you're so deep. Love you. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Episode 45, just like President Trump is at president number 45, coming up in just a week. We'll talk to you then. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
You can be my cosplay queen and I will be your king. We can spend our lives together putting needles into leather. Tell me, round this sewing machine, there is no place I'd rather be than sitting here beside you with the smell of tape and hot glue. Do you remember 5 years ago today? You were hanging on the steps and you were in your She-Ra dress. I was cross-playing Jean Grey and you asked me where my Scott was. Yeah, you look just like a goddess. And you can be my cosplay king and I will be your queen. We can could understand the feelings I had for you till I saw you dressed as Mega Man. And I was cosplayed Doctor Who. You saw the man behind the curtain, saw a man that had to love you. Honey, you can be my cosplay